I was 5 years old and living in Germany. One of the neighborhood boys came over to the playground. We had a housing development like apartments. We had a playground, and then right there was the elementary school. What was so cool is behind the school, we were at the top of a hill. And during the winter, you know what we were doing, taking trash can lids from the neighborhood and sliding down the hill. Anyway, the boy came over and he was talking to me, and I looked at him and I asked him what he was talking. And he goes, English. I go, I don't talk your English. Have you ever spoken or visited with someone and you were talking normal and they didn't understand you? It is absolutely nuts, isn't it? When we moved to DeRidder, Louisiana, I was in the third grade. And DeRidder is on the opposite side of the state of New Orleans. It's over towards Lake Charles. And what's near DeRidder is an army base called Fort Polk and Swamp. That's what it's noted for. Fort Polk and Swamp. And of course, Cajun is the dialect of the day. Have you ever spoke to someone trying to speak English, but they're Cajun? In high school, I lived in Japan. That was a lot of fun. So I started learning Japanese in order to communicate. But there are other times in which we have difficulty communicating. When we mispronounce words. You probably have your favorite words that you cannot say. I have mine. Gwen knows which ones they are. Okay? One is, and I will say it wrong, is aluminum. Was that close? That was close? Wow. Okay. What are yours? So when we're talking about in the grocery store and we need that kind of foil, I just say foil, you know. Cinnamon is another one. And on the list goes. And I have to really think to make sure I get the right word. Otherwise, it comes out gibberish. When do you sound like gibberish? Well, there are times if you're inebriated, which is commonly known as drunk, you might mispronounce your words, right? You won't speak too clear. One of the side effects of having a stroke is your words are no longer clear. If you've been in the hospital and you're cotton mouth, because the air is always so dry at a hospital, and you haven't had a lot to drink, and you're recovering from surgery, your words will not sound so clear. And what we find ourselves is, as we grow in our journey of life, we start to find reasons why someone isn't communicating. It's their accent. It's their mispronunciation. It's their vocabulary. Maybe they're drunk. Maybe they're suffering a stroke. In the book of Acts in chapter 2, human behavior is happening the same way then as it does now. We look for reasons why. What are they doing? But something different happened. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were given the gift of language and communication. There was nothing about it that was unclear. There was nothing about it that was poor diction or the wrong vocabulary word and mispronunciation and on it went. There was nothing absolutely mistaken. Unless you didn't know the language. At least that's what it sounds like at first. In the text you hear, how is it? These are all Galileans. These are all Tennesseans. And we're speaking Japanese or Chinese or Mandarin or, you know, Thai. And And on the list of languages would be, how is it that these people know our language? That's what they were asking. But for those that realized who the speakers were, and they heard them speaking, but not in their language, it sounded gibberish. And to discredit them, they started to come up with reasons why what they were saying didn't make sense, and what they were doing didn't fit. They asked the question, what does this mean? Not in a way that Martin Luther might ask that in the catechism, but they asked that question in such a way that it was a judgment. This is nuts. And yet, look what happened with the gospel. Peter stands up and tells them a little bit more about what has just taken place. He tells them that, you know, for those of you who know the Old Testament, Joel, the prophet, spoke about this day, and this is what God promised, and this is what God is revealing right now, and it is the message of salvation in your own language. But even then, for those that heard the words, the meaning was still confusing. You know when sometimes a doctor talks to you and he uses words and you've heard the words but you have no clue? You know? And you ask, well, what does that mean? When we do not have the Holy Spirit, the words of Scripture make no sense. When we do not have the Holy Spirit working in through that word into our heart, the gospel is confusing. When we do not have the Holy Spirit and God is reaching out to us, but that's not what we want, then so often our heart and our mind rejects it. The world still looks at Christians as if we're talking gibberish. In other words, the message of the Scriptures that we repeat does not make sense. Christ died for all. That doesn't make sense. Christ died for our sins. What sins? I didn't do anything wrong. Have you ever said, I didn't do anything wrong? And you were guilty? Now you understand, but at the time you may not have seen it that way. Christ died for sins. Christ died for you. And some people say, I don't need him. Some people say, I don't want him. Some people are confused. The message of the gospel, in a sense, even when it's in English, it sounds like a foreign language. And it is, because it's not of this world. Christ left heaven to be born of Mary, to show God in the flesh to a humanity that didn't want him. Christ went to the cross. They chose Barabbas to be freed and him to be crucified. They didn't want him. The disciples even went into hiding for a little while. They weren't sure now that they got him what to do with him. And on it's been. We have the Bible in the home and we don't read it. We aren't much different than the world in that day, are we? And when we do speak the gospel, we want to change it. We want to make it hip, modern, cool. Man's thinking. And so the gospel applies to all, no matter what you are, no matter what you do, no matter how you are, and you can remain that way. And that's okay with God. And so the gospel comes out without the message of repentance, which means it's no gospel at all. It was a difficult day for the disciples gathered in one place. And yet this day is really about a day of God's love. Yes, we have the historical reference point about the tower that the people built in the Old Testament, and God confused at that time language. And he made it difficult for everybody to communicate with everyone else. Because if you put us together, we will connive. We will be shrewd. We'll be sneaky. We will think how we can get away with stuff, how we can change stuff. Sounds like Congress, doesn't it? Think about it. It sounds like a bunch of fifth graders figuring out what they can do in class to distract the teacher. It sounds like a bunch of high school kids about what they can get away with from mom and dad. It sounds like a bunch of college kids. It sounds about people in the workplace, you know, when the supervisor's not right there. We rebel against authority. We rebel against truth. We rebel against God's way. And yet Pentecost is really about God loving people who stray. It is God's love that sent the Holy Spirit. Yes, he made the promise. That's true. And lovingly, he kept the promise because he's true to himself. He's true to his word. But the promise was done out of love. I will send you, and sometimes he's called the comforter. Sometimes he's called the helper. You know, I will send you the one, the third person of the Trinity, this Holy Spirit. I will send him. And what will he do? He will help you remember. Because so easily we forget. We don't just forget the simple stuff in life. Well, I can't remember your name. I know I've met you. That kind of stuff. We forget what God has said, what God has asked of us. We are a distracted group of people. And the Holy Spirit was sent to bring that message of salvation so we wouldn't forget. We wouldn't forget repentance. We wouldn't forget the cross. We wouldn't forget the empty tomb. We wouldn't forget where Jesus lives now and reigns. And we wouldn't forget that he's coming again. We wouldn't forget that he has prepared a place for us. And we would hold on to what has happened and what is yet to happen because God has promised. That is God's love. The Holy Spirit comes to people who are not convinced, who don't want to be convinced, who wrestle with things. And yet there's the Spirit working. The Holy Spirit gives it to you as you can manage it. You ever notice that? It's like your mom and dad. And you said, well, how come? And mom and dad said, well, you'll have to wait till you get older. How many of you hated that answer? Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever noticed the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you everything at once? I mean, it's in the Bible. I got that, right? But it didn't make sense all at once. But he lets it unfold from Sunday school classroom through confirmation instruction, through youth Bible study, through adult Bible study, through sermons and worship and Christian fellowship, through the wisdom that God has imparted to us through one another. He lets it unfold. That too is God's love. He portions it out so that we may grow in a relationship with him. That's pretty loving, isn't it? So that bond would be deeper and even more meaningful. It's hard to imagine that, you know, when a young couple gets married, someone says, you're going to love your partner more in 20 years than you do right now. And they go, no way. Because I love, you know, so much. But isn't that what happens in marriage? You grow closer. and the love deepens, and it's phenomenal. And it happens in our walk with God. We know God loves us, but we begin to grow in that love, deeper and meaningful as we journey. As we experience things and are encouraged and supported and lifted up, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And yet our world still thinks it's gibberish. It is for us, as Haley mentioned, it is for us in the Great Commission. It is for us to continue to speak. And we got to be recognized and a little smart. Some people are going to say, you're drunk. And other people are going to say, you know, I think you had a stroke. You're talking gibberish. And other people are going to say, boy, are you dumb. And other people, and you are going to get responses that vary from here to there. But it doesn't matter. Your mission is, as you live by the power of the Holy Spirit, is simply to tell people that God loves them so much that he sent the Son. And the Son loves them so much that he spread his arms on the cross. They couldn't take his life, he gave it. And God loves you so much that he gives the Holy Spirit with this word. It's a living word. And he doesn't want you to be confused or distracted or you know, unknowing. But he wants you to be embraced and held steadfast by his word and spirit. Yeah, when you read the Bible, at first it might seem confusing and gibberish, but as you grow in faith, it's almost like your eyes are opened and your brain expands and your heart grows. There's even the verse about let your hearts and minds be renewed in Christ Jesus. It's an awesome journey. Pentecost is not dead. It's not simply a historical event that we look in the past and say, yep, they had tongues of fire on their head, you know, and you know, wow. And don't we wish we could have that today? The Holy Spirit that produced that fire, that flame, is the Holy Spirit, the same one who's in you. Through the water and the word, you were made alive. Well, there's the baptismal font. Sorry. You were made alive in Christ. You, Lutherans, you're Pentecostal. You have the Spirit. You have God's love. So like the disciples, we have an opportunity. It really is that. It is to speak and let people listen. You can't control whether they get it. You have to understand that. That is not your job. You can't control whether they like it. That too is not your job. Your job is simply to be Pentecostal, that you have the Holy Spirit to speak the message of salvation. And the Holy Spirit goes out with that word, according to God's promise, pretty good promise. The Holy Spirit goes out with those words that you will speak. And may it touch the hearts of those around you. So if somebody looks at you and thinks you're speaking a foreign language, just tell them it's okay. If someone looks at you and thinks you're drunk, don't get angry. If someone looks at you and thinks you're insane, don't punch them. Just love them with the power of God's love that's in your heart. And let the Holy Spirit work as he will, as he has in you. That you know and have God's love, and you have faith, and you have salvation. And you have the forgiveness of sins. And other people are waiting for the same gift and they don't even know it. It's a powerful moment when people come to faith. God's offering you the opportunity to be Pentecostal, that you too may behold the power of the living Word, the power of the Spirit, changing hearts and minds to the glory of God. So what does this mean? Simply, risk. Do not be afraid. The same God who watched over the disciples is the same God who watches over you. The same God that gave them the very words is the same God that will tell you how to talk and will guide you. The same God that loves you and forgives you is the same God that touches them. And it is our prayer that more people hear the word and believe. Isn't that neat? That more people hear the word and believe. In Jesus' name, amen.